We are not the same. The playing ground is not Lemusa. We came from another kingdom. We are polythiomas. Do you understand? Meaning extensions of another kingdom. You see, Christians trying to live life, trying to do their business, do their job, run their career, and make progress by human skill. You are wasting time. Your mind must be upon the everlasting covenant. We are that proclamational truth. Wherever God has sent you, listen, this is the message that will give meaning to your Christian experience. Without this, there is no purpose. And when an experience does not have a purpose, there is confusion and abuse. You cannot plan to reign without this revelation. It's not possible, sir. It's not possible, sir. The level of your dominion is a reflection of your level of skill in the doctrine of righteousness. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Welcome to First Service. Are you excited to be here? Are you excited to be here? Hallelujah. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Amen. The Lord is good and His mercy endures. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. Let me just read out two testimonies for us. You know, on Sunday, in the middle of the second service, I began to pray for people. How many of you remember? I began to pray for people. And this is another mic. So, I don't know why. Okay. Hallelujah. All right. I pray for people. I think I pray for those with defect in the eyes, long-sighted, short-sighted. We saw a few persons had instant testimonies. Amen. And then somebody online, I think it was Dr. Uche. How many of you saw that? Somebody online got healed instantly. Amen. Of a visual defect. Then I talked about someone who was out of job. Okay, praying for someone who was out of job. And let me read this testimony. It says, good morning, sir. This was on Friday. Thank you so much, sir, for being an immense blessing to my family, to me and immense blessing and father to me and my family. When you declared in the second half that the second half was a season of great compensations, I believe with all that I am. And that is faith. Then during the second service last Sunday, that's 12th of July, you spoke about someone who lost his or her job. I identified that my wife, which was absent because she just gave birth, lost her job. Then you prayed and declared a better job, sir, as on me, on behalf of my wife. On Tuesday, that is 2 days after, on the 14th, I was called to come and collect an appointment later as an assistant lecturer, amen, with the federal, hallelujah, amen. Sir, I have commenced documentation in less than a week after you declared it. I'm overwhelmed with joy. God has shown me great mercy and compensation, sir. Thank you, sir. Through your life, I have found meaning in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. And the Lord is here. You see, there are demonstrations of God's mercy and demonstrations of God's love. It's part of what you should expect every time you come to church. Church is not a place where you wear your new clothes and connect with people. And that is important. There's a place for that. But see, every church service happens in the atmosphere of God's presence, in the atmosphere of God's glory, in the midst of His word. Hallelujah. So part of what you should expect are demonstrations of His love. Amen. Demonstrations of His mercy. And that is very important. If you went for a church service where God is present, you expect demonstrations of His mercy, demonstrations of His kindness, demonstrations of His love. Where you have natural law suspended, when you have time compressed, when you have workings of miracles, amen, demonstrations of signs, hallelujah. And also part of what you should expect is illumination, insight, light coming to you. Glory to God forevermore. And this morning our hearts are open to receive light. Our hearts are open to have encounters of the God kind. Encounters with His word. The Bible says, at Shiloh, the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel by the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. In 2 Samuel chapter 2, the last verse. It says, at Shiloh, the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel. How? By the word of the Lord. That means every time you sit like this, expect an encounter with the word of God. Hallelujah. Expect an encounter with the word of God. Expect to receive something to your spirit, something to your soul, something that will enter every fiber of your being. And sometimes you may not even remember everything you heard. Like I jokingly said, can you remember what you heard 21 days ago instantly? Can you remember? How many remember what we ate 23 days ago? Let me make it more difficult. You know, 21 days ago probably was a Sunday, so you can think. 23 days ago, do you remember what you ate? How many of you remember what you ate morning and evening or afternoon and evening? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you remember? But did it stop it from nourishing your body? No. Hallelujah. What was important was that you sat down and put the food in your body. The same thing when you sit down with understanding, when you sit down with the right mindset that, look, every time I collide with the word, something happens to my spirit. Your life is not the same. You may go from church and remember maybe the key things that strike your spirit and be like, okay, pastor talked about this. The remaining 1 hour, what else was said? It's not important. Glory to God. It will not stop it from nourishing your spirit. Over time, you see the impact of the growth. Over time, you look, my goodness, I have grown. Over time, you look, my response to life is different. Glory to God. Why? You have grown. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Are you here this morning? Can I get more response? Can I get more response? Hallelujah. Amen. His first service. And we'll continue from where we stopped last week. We began to discuss something very, very special. Something very interesting last week, Sunday. How many of you remember the shout of a king and the victory of saints? Hallelujah. The shout of a king and the victory of saints. Very special, special stuff from God's word we began to share. Numbers chapter, very quickly, Numbers 23, 19 to 22. Our emphasis was 21 and then Psalm 89, verse 15. Numbers 23, 19 to 22. Is he on the board, King James Version? He says, God is not the man. Oh, God is not the man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. You know, there's a blessing in just reading the scripture. There's a blessing. Just reading. I know there's a higher blessing when you study. A higher blessing when you meditate, but see, a higher blessing when you listen to the word being taught. But just reading the scripture has a blessing. Just putting your Bible, hard copy, soft copy before you, and just reading. You get so blessed by just reading. Hallelujah. You can play softly on the keyboard. You get so blessed by just reading. And that's the beginning of your interaction with the word. Glory to God. Just reading. That good old reading the Bible. You just put it before you and you are reading. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoso believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then you go on and on and on. There's a blessing in it. Hallelujah. All right, so we'll read to verse 22. God is not the man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Has he spoken, and shall he not make you good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord is God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He has, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Surely, there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there divination against Israel. According to this time, he shall be said of Jacob and of Israel what God had wrought. Hallelujah. Very quickly, Psalm 89, verse 15. We'll read there. Psalm 89, verse 15. Psalm 89, verse 15. Is he up? Just a moment. Sorry. Psalm 89, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 89, verse 15. He said, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. All right, so we began our discourse last week by talking about what is on the Father's mind. We said, on God's mind, the picture of the believer is not a poor, wretched, struggling fellow who has his sins forgiven, waiting to escape to heaven. But on the mind of God, what he sees in the believer is a victorious, redeemed, blood-washed, spirit-filled, victorious man and woman who is walking in kingly dominion on the earth, establishing his purposes on the earth. Glory to God forevermore. And it says that this kingly dominion responds to a skill set called being skillful in the word of righteousness. Hallelujah. According to Romans chapter 5 verse 17, you can put it up. It says, therefore, for if by one man's offense death reigned, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. And what we got the expression being skillful in the doctrine of righteousness from was in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. The Bible says, he that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He is a babe. He is a babe. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, he didn't say he's ignorant in the word of righteousness. He uses the word skillful. And he says to be skillful is to use the knowledge that you have to change outcome. Is to use the knowledge that you have intentionally to improve performance. That is what skill is. That means the revelation of righteousness was meant to have an impact on the daily lives of believers. Are you following me this morning? So that was what we got the expression, being skillful in the word of righteousness, or being skillful in the doctrine of righteousness from. So we said the measure to which you reign in life is a revelation or a reflection of your level of skill in the revelation of righteousness. Hallelujah. Are we together? Go back to Romans 5 verse 17. Let me show you something there. Hallelujah. So righteousness must be understood. Righteousness must be comprehended. We went further to talk about Abraham and David, right? Very powerful. We said two figures in the Old Testament that are an embodiment in revelation of what Jesus came to do. We said Father Abraham and King David. And that is revealed in Romans chapter 4. Father Abraham and King David. Abraham had a revelation that shows the dimension of the fatherhood of God. David had a revelation that shows a symbolism of the dimension of the kingship of God. I'll get into explaining that. Glory to God. And it was so important that when the genealogy of Jesus was talked about in Matthew chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible calls him the son of Abraham and the son of David. That is no coincidence. There were many mighty people in the lineage of Jesus. If Solomon was so rich, the whole world had to pay attention. Glory to God. He was so wise. The Bible says he was wiser than all men. But Jesus wasn't called the son of Solomon. The Bible was selective and intentional in calling Jesus the son of Abraham and the son of David. And that is no coincidence. It has to do with what they embodied and reflected as far as the ministry of the Christ and the work of redemption is concerned. Are we together? And you study scriptures, Abraham was called father. Father Abraham. Even in hell, when the rich man was calling across the gulf, what did he call him? Father Abraham. In Isaiah, the Bible says, look unto Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, the boy, referred to as a father. So it wasn't just a title. It was a revelation of what we are to come into through the redemptive work of Christ. Have it together. And David is called king. He's addressed as king. Even Jesus addressed him as king. He called Jerusalem the city of the great king, referring to Jesus. Again, that's no coincidence. It's a revelation of what we are to enter into, the dimension of the kingship we are to enter into through our faith in the redemptive sacrifice of Jesus. Have it together. But interestingly, these two dimensions expressed by these two men are connected to your skill in the doctrine of righteousness. Very important. They are connected. So put it up. Romans chapter 5 verse 17. He said, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, death seized the sovereignty. A translation says, death seized the sovereignty. Death reigned. If our death reigned like a hawk, death was in charge. He took whoever he wanted to take. The dominion of death. The Bible says death reigned from Adam to Moses. And even after the law was given, the death of reign continued. What happened? The transgression of one man brought in the rulership of death, brought in the dominion of death. Now, I wanted you to see that so that you can know the extent, the glory, and the power of your dominion and rulership through the revelation of righteousness. He says, much more. So, when you begin to consider how death reigned, you can have a glimpse. Try to think of the picture. How was the rulership of death? How was the dominion of death? How was the sovereignty of death, brothers and sisters? He says, for by one man's offense, death reigned. Death seized the sovereignty. He says, much more. Much more. Much more. Is somebody with me? Much more. Meaning much more than the way death reigned. If I, death was so in charge that men were helpless. If our death was so in charge that even God had to wait until the perfect sacrifice was made for death to be defeated. As much as he loved humanity, it was as though his hands were tied. Why? The legal reign of death. What happened? Through the fall of Adam, he handed over the dominion to Satan, and Satan ruled by death. So that's what he's saying. That if through the sin of Adam, death seized the sovereignty, death reigned much more. Much more. Much more. Much more words. Much more. They which receive abundance of grace. Who are the they? Are you part of the they? Are you part of the they? Listen, in scripture, in this kingdom, is be it unto you according to your faith. Is be it unto you according to what you can see. I've told you before, the day you locate yourself in scripture, your life changes. I've told you before, what you see, the extent of your vision is the boundary of your blessings. God told Abraham, he says, what can you see? Look to the south, to the west, to the east, to the west, to the west, to the east, to the west, to the north, to the south, as far as your eyes can see. He said, that I have given unto you for possession. And Abraham saw the whole world, and God was committed to giving him the whole world. Much more, thee. You know, years ago, I told myself that as far as God's blessings are concerned in scriptures, when I see whosoever, I am part of the whosoever. Is somebody here this morning? Whosoever. Whosoever believeth shall live. Who is the whosoever? I am. You put your name there. When Jesus went to the synagogue, as his custom was, and he stood up for to read from the scripture, and the Bible says he found a certain place where it was written, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to open the eyes of the blind, to declare liberty to them that are bound, and to proclaim the year, the acceptable year of the Lord, the year where the free favors of God profusely abound. The Bible says he closed the book and told them, watch this. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. Isaiah did not write his name there. He located it and put himself there. Even in Acts 13, when Paul was attempting to convince the Jews that Christ was the Messiah and that salvation would come through the sacrifice, the redemptive work of Christ, and they did not believe, and they opposed. What did he say? He said, since you count yourself unworthy of eternal life, return to the Gentiles, for thus has the Lord commanded us. And he quoted Isaiah 49. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Are you here? Much more thee. Yes, much more thee, which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. So righteousness is a gift. If you work for anything, it is called reward and wages. In the kingdom, there are things that are rewards. That is true. But you see, righteousness is not part of them. Righteousness is a gift. Eternal life is a gift. You only receive and use them. He says, much more than the dominion and the rulership of death, pay which receive abundance. Am I in glory zone this morning? Pay which receive abundance of grace. Oh, I love that. Abundance of grace. It's talking about the extravagance of grace. Abundance of grace and of the gifts of righteousness shall do what? Shall reign. Shall reign. Have you ever seen this part of scripture? When you see what happens to you, would you sit and look dull, or you get excited and celebrate? Shall reign in life. That means the key to reigning in life is receiving the gift of righteousness and knowing what you received. There's no other way. Listen, anybody who has raised his head in the kingdom, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, got a hold of the revelation of God's grace and the gift of righteousness. They may not preach it. It may not be an emphasis for them. But when you hear them closely, you know they understand the grace of God. You know they understand the mercy of God. You know they understand the gift of righteousness. Are you listening? Even for ministers, it may not be their emphasis. But if you listen to them, nobody does great things with God. Listen, to attempt to be a kingdom ambassador, to do mighty and great things with God on this side of eternity, you must have a grasp of the revelation of the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. You know, I just said what I said to help someone say, ah, but this man, I know he's a global minister, but he does not talk of grace and righteousness. It may not be his emphasis, but if you listen to him carefully, he understands what it means. For no man can ever rise in this kingdom. The foundation for sustainable dominion, for stepping into that kingly dominion on the earth as the kingdom ambassador, in advancing the agenda of the king and living the life that you were earmarked before the foundations of the earth to live. Revelation of the abundance of his grace and of the gift of righteousness. And of the gift of righteousness. You know, in Romans 4, oh, glory to God. I'm excited. In Romans 4, he said, what is it that our father Abraham has found? That Abraham, our father, has found. Put it up for me. Let's just read it a little. He said, what is it that he found? What is it that he found? What is it that he found? It's no coincidence that when Paul was writing about righteousness in Romans 4, he made reference to these two figures. In Genesis 15, we saw that Abraham, when God preached the gospel to him, he believed. And the Bible says that believing was credited to his account for righteousness. He became our father as an embodiment of the fatherhood of God. And then David, in Psalm 32, verse 1 and 2, he saw the blessedness of the man unto whom God will not impute sin. How was David able to see it? He said, go back, don't worry. Go back to Romans 4. Go back to Romans 4. I'll just reference them in quoted. Are you blessed this morning?
Yes,
am I talking to someone?
Yes,
he said, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, had found. Next. For Abraham were justified by works. He had something to glory of. But not before God. Not before God. That means everything Abraham accomplished, he can never credit it to his works. No. Of course, he responded in what we call the works of faith. But his foundational reasoning was faith. Was justification by faith. Meaning his standing before God was on the ground of grace and the righteousness imparted to him. Are you here? He said, for Abraham was justified by works. He has something to glory of, but not before God. That's for if he was justified by works. But for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Next verse. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Have you learned how to rejoice at God's word? If you haven't learned it, your journey is far. Have you learned how to rejoice and just celebrate the word of God? Look at this. It's a man to him that walketh is a reward and reckon of grace. But to him, but of debt. Next verse. But to him that walketh not, but believes on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Give me a newer version. 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 Maybe amplified of that verse 4. He said, but to one, let me use this eye. He said, now to a laborer, his wages are not counted as favor or gift. You now see it. But as an obligation, something owed to him. Something owed to him. But God does not owe you anything. Next verse. He said, but to one who not walking by the law, trust, believes fully in him who justifies the ungodly. No, look at that expression. God justifies the ungodly. We are laying foundation. God justifies the ungodly. God justifies the ungodly. This is a revelation of the foundation of the gospel of salvation. That God justifies the ungodly. Look at this. His faith is credited to him as righteousness. That means, if this speaking account in here, that means the faith is deposited in his account as righteousness. So a man is declared righteous the day he receives the sacrifice of Jesus. Look at this. As righteous, the standing, look at what righteousness means. The standing acceptable to God. Hallelujah. Go back to verse 6. Go to verse 6 now. King James. And back to King James. Now, even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. You know, you look at your Bible. I had a very religious background, a very orthodox background. You know, the first time I began to see this, I almost did not believe it. I had to check my Bible again. that God imputed righteousness to a man without works. I thought my righteousness were to come because of my works. But not before God. Your works have a different purpose. But it does not give you a right standing before God. Are you listening? Glory to God. Are you listening? This is the foundation of our confidence in prayers. We don't come to pray because we have dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's. No. We come understanding that, look, we are the blessed ones unto whom God has imputed righteousness without works. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Next verse. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. Whose sins are covered. Next verse. That is the picture of the old man in the old covenant. But look at us. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. To whom the Lord will not impute sin. That is the righteousness of God. That is the righteousness of God. So both dimensions that we are to walk in, that is understanding the fatherhood of God represented by Abraham and stepping into the kingly dominion to advance the kingdom of God, exemplified, embodied by King David, are connected to the revelation of righteousness. That means both the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom are connected to the revelation of righteousness. Both the gospel of salvation from sin and the gospel of dominion over the works of Satan, over all of God's creation, are connected to the revelation of righteousness. That means you can never get to a point where you stand with God as far as salvation is concerned, and you stand with God as far as partnering with the Spirit to advance His agenda of God is concerned without the consciousness of righteousness. Are you with me this morning?
Yes,
it can never happen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You can never get there. Very important. The psalmist said, blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of their countenance. He says, shouts of joy and victory resounds in the tabernacle of the righteous, because the Lord's right hand doeth valiantly. Psalm 118. Because the Lord's right hand doeth valiantly. Because the Lord's right hand is lifted on high. Therefore, I shall not die, but live to declare the counsel of the Lord. That is the verse that follows. The reason why you shall not die, to fulfill The counsel of the Lord is not because you have not fulfilled your destiny yet. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We had an accident. People died. I was one of the two persons that came out alive. I believe it's because my time on earth is not done yet. Dummy? Seriously? There are many people whose times were not done who died. Believers or non-believers. Why will you not die but live? The Lord's right hand. The Lord's right hand. Do it valiantly. The Lord's right hand. Do it valiantly. The Lord's right hand. Do it valiantly. Blessed are the people that know the joyful teruah, the joyful psalm. They shall walk with God in the light of the countenance. I think we read the Amplified last week. And then we use the feast. Put up the Amplified. Let me just connect it and move it from there. Put up the Amplified. The joyful psalm there significantly is talking about understanding the spiritual significance. That's Psalm 89, verse 15. It's talking about the spirit. Look at this. Blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied are the people who know the joyful psalm, who understand. Now he's explaining what knowing the joyful psalm is. What did he say? Who understand and appreciate the spiritual blessings symbolized by the feast. That means the feasts are not ordinary events. They have spiritual blessings. They have spiritual blessings. And we are partakers of that spiritual blessings. The first four, the feast of the springs are fulfilled. Are fulfilled. We have entered into the spiritual blessings of the spirit, of those feasts. The Passover, the unleavened bread, the first fruits, and the Pentecost, the feast of Pentecost, they've been fulfilled. The Passover was Christ crucified. The Passover was Christ. The Bible says he was offered up for our offenses. That was Christ crucified. 1 Corinthians 5:7, right? He said, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Christ our Passover. Oh, because of his sacrifice, the anger of God has passed over us. Because of his sacrifice, we have become the vessels of God's mercy. God can never be angry with me. Never. I'm the vessel of his mercy. Meaning when God is happy and excited, he comes to my house. When he's angry, he doesn't come to my house. He goes to the house of the enemy. Glory to God. Christ is our Passover. Let this become real to you. Christ is your Passover. When Satan paints the picture of fear, of death, of destruction, remember Christ is our Passover. Christ is our Passover. And the Bible says that Passover lamb has been sacrificed. You know when you say this is a Passover lamb and it's not sacrificed, it means Passover has not happened. Do you understand? He's been sacrificed. I love the word of God. He said Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. So the Passover for us is accomplished. We are far from destruction. Hallelujah. He's our living bread. Meaning he's our separation from sin. Hallelujah. He's our separation from sin. In his burial, the feast, Jesus was buried coinciding with the feast of unleavened bread. That symbolizes his burial. The power of sin broken. Unleavened means without sin. The power of sin is broken. Number three, the first fruits. That's his resurrection. The Bible says he's the first fruit from the dead. And when he was raised, the Bible said we were raised with him. That means the new life came as a result of the resurrection. As a result of the resurrection. Glory to God. Glory to God. That means when they were celebrating the feast of first fruits, is a celebration of the resurrection life. Is a celebration of the resurrection power at work in us. The Bible said the same power that raised Christ from the dead is at work towards us. Is at work in us. Glory to God. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. Blessed are the people that know the spiritual significance of the feast. They shall walk with God in the light of thy countenance. Ah, when God told them, do first fruit feast, celebrate before me, rejoice before me in first fruit. He was looking at the emergence of the new creation. He was looking at the emergence of the church. He was looking at the emergence of men and women with eternal life. He said, peace is the testimony that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has the life. When he was raised victoriously, we were raised with him, never again to partake of death. Hallelujah. That means the power of death is broken. The power of hell is broken. The power of the grave is broken. Over everything that we have and that is connected to us. Oh, what did Paul say in 2 Timothy? He said Christ through his appearing has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He said, who has abolished death? Who has abolished? Death is abolished in my world. Who has abolished death? Death means separation from God. Death means corruption. That means in your finances, in your body, in your health, in your marriage, in your business, in whatever God has committed to you, in your mind, death is abolished. Life and immortality has been brought to life through the gospel. You will put that on your mouth and say it. That in my world, death is abolished. Life and immortality has been brought to light. In my finances, death is abolished. Life and immortality has been brought to light through the gospel. In the name of Jesus, in my home, in my business, in my body, death is abolished. Life and immortality. Sit. You can sit. Has been brought to light through the gospel. Blessed are those who know the joyful sound, who know the spiritual significance of the feast. They shall walk, O God, in the light of thy countenance. You cannot plan to reign without this revelation. It's not possible, sir. It's not possible, sir. The level of your dominion is a reflection of your level of skill in the doctrine of righteousness. They shall walk in the light. Malakabalatos, I feel the anointed. They shall walk, O God, in the light of thy countenance. So all of scripture, I told you, the core is about Christ and his redemptive work. That's the core of scripture. And when we say Christ, we can't go into that. Redemptive work is one. Then Christ. You see, Christ is not a religious title. Christ is a political title. Are you listening? The concept of Christianity was not meant to be religious. It was meant to be governmental. It was meant to be governmental. Men, because of their lack of understanding and their level of illumination, made religion out of Christianity. But that was not God's intent. Are you listening to me? His intent was government. The moment the church was mentioned by Jesus in Matthew chapter 16 verse 18, he told us clearly that this is a governmental thing. I will build my ecclesia and the gate. What is gate? Gate is not what you see outside. Gate in the realm of the spirit means authority of government. It means principalities, powers, governments, thrones, and dominions. It says, I will build my church, meaning I will establish my kingdom on the earth and the other kingdom. And the other kingdom. That means there will be an attempt to sabotage my program. But I have a strategy to give an advantage to my agenda, my cause, and my ecclesia. That's what he's saying. So the Bible is about this redemptive work and the Christus. Everything that we're doing in the Passover, in moving, God was trying to paint, to put a shadow to what was to come. They were doing first fruits. But it was about the resurrection of Christ and those that will be raised with him. Are you here? Blessed are those that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O God, in the light of the countenance. We are his first fruits. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Oh my goodness. You cannot get into scripture and not have your thinking shifted. You cannot get into God's word and not have your paradigm shifted and not have your mind recalibrated. He says, being born again. Geno anothen. The Greek is geno anothen. It means to beget from above. It means to come forth from a superior realm. Being born again. It really doesn't mean, you can go check it. It really doesn't mean, like again, after this, again. No. It means, get no one offend. To be cast from above. To be cast from a superior realm. Being born again. Not of corruptible sperma. Not of corruptible seed. But of the incorruptible. Which is the word of God that lives and abides forever. He said that we might be unto him a kind of first fruit. A kind of first fruit of his creature. The first and the best. We are the first fruit of his creatures. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. To the new birth. Yes, sir. Oh yes, we are. Because we wear the same trouser, wear the same designers, go to the same school, eat in the same restaurant. Should not confuse you. We are not the same.
Yes, sir.
We are not the same. The playing ground is not level, sir.
Yes, sir.
It's not level, ma. We are not the same.
Yes, sir.
We came from another kingdom. We are polytheomas. Do you understand?
Yes,
meaning extensions of another kingdom. Extensions. You know, in the ancient world, when they send an army, when they want to take a territory, that's what we call conquering troops and occupational troops. After your conquering troops have taken over a territory, you send occupational troops. Those are the people that occupy the territory to establish the civilization of the mother kingdom in the colony. They are the ones. Their job is to stay there and school the people in the wisdom, in the concept, in the civilization of the mother kingdom. So you have Egypt, which is supposed to be an Arab nation, having a city called Alexandria. How? I mean, the Greeks were there. You come to Nigeria, you come to Plateau State, we are sipping tea inside heat. What happened? The British were here. Wearing suits. Hallelujah. Listen, brothers and sisters, we are that occupational troop. Are you here? We are that occupational troop. Wherever God has sent you. Listen, this is the message that will give meaning to your Christian experience. Without peace, there's no purpose. And when an experience does not have a purpose, there's confusion and abuse. Why do we talk about healing? To establish the kingdom. Why do we talk about prosperity? To advance the cause. Are you listening? Why do we teach faith? Just to meet personal needs? No. To advance a cause, a vision from God. The first time the expression, the just shall live by faith, I feel good. The first time the expression, the just shall live by faith, was used, it was connected to vision. Habakkuk chapter 2, when he stood and says, I will stand upon the tower. I will sit me upon that place to see what he will say to me. And what I shall answer when I'm refused. And God said, write the vision. Write the vision. That means, he got the vision from God and besought, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. So living by faith, really, in context, was to be connected to carrying out a kingdom vision. That's the context in which he was first used. Write the vision. Write the vision. He said he was on the tower when he heard and saw what God said. And God said, write the vision. And the next verse says, the just shall live by faith. That means carrying out this vision is supposed to be by faith. Will be by faith. That means the concept of faith was to use to push kingdom vision.
Yes, sir.
Primarily.
Yes, sir.
Not to try to get your car, even though it's good. Try to increase your income, even though it's good. It's important. But see, you must tie everything to the higher vision. Which is establishing the dominion of Christ. The influence of the king in the hearts of men. And in every sphere of human endeavor. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Are you blessed this morning? Hi, Marco Patos Kele Brunde Sushta. Like Brunde Sushta. Oh, see, I know the joyful sound. Blessed and empowered to prosper are those who know the joyful sound, who understand the significance, the spiritual significance of the feast. They shall walk, O God, in the light of thy countenance. You know what it means to walk in the light of God's countenance? No, think about it. Let me quote it again. They shall walk, O God, in the light of your countenance. The light of God's countenance talks about his presence and the fullness of his power. And the fullness of his power. And the fullness of his power. That means the revelation of the joyful psalm, the revelation of the spiritual blessings and significance of the feast will confer on you the presence of God and the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost. Listen, I've told you before, Christ revealed his power released. That means every time Christ is seen, every time his intent, his works, his intent is seen in scripture, there's a release of power. That's what he's talking about. They shall walk, O God, in the light of thy countenance. They shall walk in the blaze of your presence. They shall walk in the fullness of your power. Why? They have the revelation of the joyful sound. The shout of a king. The shout of a king. The shout of a king. The shout of the king is the victory of saints. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a life. What an honor. What an honor. What an honor. So we see the first fruit. I stopped at first fruit, right? Then the next one is the Pentecost. The Pentecost, which was exactly, is a feast of weeks. 7 weeks from the Passover was the Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, why did the Holy Spirit have to wait for the day of Pentecost? For scripture to be fulfilled. The day of Pentecost in the wilderness was when the law was given at Sinai. When the law was given at Sinai. And on that day, 3,000 people died. They fell and died. The Holy Ghost came. He says, I will write my laws in their hearts. Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. I will write my laws in their hearts so that they can live. They can live from their hearts. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That was the coming of the Holy Spirit. Yes, and coincidentally, the day he came, 3,000 people were saved. Redeeming what was lost. Amazing. Remarkable. Yes, hallelujah. That was a good place to clap. Yes. Amen. Because the Jews had the law of 50 days, 49, 50 days from the Passover. And then the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost and empowered the apostles. Birthed the church in practice, empowered the church to say. Empowerment is in the feast. Entrument, empowerment, oneness. Hallelujah. Are you seeing this now? And he came to live forever. The Holy Spirit did not come to stay temporary and leave you. That's a personal dimension. He's always with you. You know the way some people have religiously taught about the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Were they really teaching about the ministry of the Holy Spirit? They were trying to see what they know. Because if they understood the ministry of the Spirit, they wouldn't say those things. Listen, the Holy Spirit is the governor of God's kingdom. Meaning, he's the executor. Are you with me? He's the executor. He carries out the Father's purpose. He carries out the King's intention to his body on the earth. This is what the Holy Spirit does. And this is why he has to possess the body. He has to. He cannot walk outside of indwelling the body of Christ, which is the church. But you see, he came to stay. He said, I will give you the Holy Spirit. He said, I will pray the Father. He will send you another comforter. Who shall abide with you? How long? Forever. 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 He is with us to empower us. He is with us to move us to carry out the Father's will. And we have to be conscious of his presence. Hallelujah. And he's not with you to leave. Somebody said, when I do something wrong, the Holy Spirit leaves. And then he comes back when I repent. Amen. Let me drop this one here. Hope you know that in the New Testament, forgiveness is not an act. Forgiveness is an established reality. You just take it. That means God is not rotting forgiveness afresh. No. No. Is an established reality that you walk in. Hallelujah. But why do we confess our sins? Why do we confess our wrongdoings. Why do we tell God we are sorry? It's because there's a relationship. Amen. It's because there's a relationship. And then when you hurt someone you're in a relationship with, it's just polite to say you are sorry. Is that true? Someone says, even when I do something wrong, I don't need to tell God I'm sorry before I'm forgiving. That's an error. Amen. That's a damnable error. But I rarely answer people on Facebook. Somebody wrote something one day, I had to answer it. And you're saying, in the light of sexual sins. Amen. I said, were you unconscious when you're committing it? Were you unconscious? You fainted. Were you drugged? Why? It's about relationship. Amen. It's about relationship. The fact that you know your spouse will always forgive you doesn't mean you should not say, oh, you're sorry. You really didn't know this was going to hurt her or hurt him. Are we together? But that also doesn't mean you have to work for the forgiveness. It's established. It's yours. Hallelujah. Are we here? Did you get that? Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you blessed this morning? Hallelujah. Rise to your feet. I'm out of time. We'll continue in second service. Glory, glory, glory. Glory. Woo, 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 woo. Speak in tongues right where you are. Just lift up two hands and bless the Lord. Just bless him and honor him. He's worthy. What the gracious King will say. What the mighty God. What the mighty King. What the mighty King. Oh, glory! Thank you, Lord. Glory! Glory, glory! Glory, glory! Glory, glory! Glory, glory! Just bless the Lord. Glory! Oh, I know the joyful sound. I know the joyful sound. I know the joyful sound. Hey, I know the joyful sound. Oh, I walk, oh God, in the light of your countenance. I walk, oh God, in the light of your countenance. I walk, oh God, in the light of your countenance. I walk, oh God, in the light of your countenance. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I want us to raise a literal sound in 1 minute. Amen. A literal joyful sound. Amen. We're explaining the others. We're going to get into that. But I want you to shout and rejoice with the revelations, the things we have shared on your mind. Hallelujah. You know, Watchman Nee says, the job of the Christian is summarized in one word. Receive. Receive. And the way we receive, a major way of receiving, is by shouting. Is by rejoicing. Hallelujah. I don't want anybody just standing cool, calm, collected. I know you look good this morning. But church is a place where you can lose your calm. When you think about what he has done, are you ready? Hey, hey, glory! Hey, oh, glory! Hey, 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 hey! Oh, I know the joyful sound. Oh, I know the joyful sound. I walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. You guys are not helping my ministry. Oh, I know the joyful sound. Oh, I walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. I know the joyful sound. 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 I walk, O God, in the light of your countenance. Yeah, I walk with God in the light of your countenance.
The light of your countenance.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we love you. Father, we honor you. All eyes closed, just bow your heads, everyone. You are here this morning and you said, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be saved. I want to have this joy. I want to have Jesus in my life. Or you are saying, I want to rededicate my life to Christ. I've strayed so far. I want to rededicate my life to Christ. Right where you are, I want you to lift your hands. I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand where you are. If you are in that category, you are saying, Pastor, pray for me. I want Jesus in my heart. I've strayed so far. I want to be back home. I want to be where he is. I want to have him in my heart. Just raise your hand and raise it high right where you are. Just raise it high. Just raise it high so we can say, God bless you, sir. Just raise it high. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, everything. See, right where you are, right where you are, I want you to pray this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father. And as our custom is, can we join them to pray the prayer? Say, Heavenly Father, I believe that you love me. I come to you today on the basis of Christ's sacrifice. Now, for those of you who have your hands lifted, you are the one to say this. We are just helping you. So you need to say it out loud. I come to you today because of Christ's sacrifice. I believe that he died for my sins to be forgiven. Today, I confess him as my Lord and my Savior. I truly believed that he was raised for my justification. And I declare today that I have eternal life. I receive his righteousness, his peace, his forgiveness into my heart. In the name of Jesus, I'm restored to him. In the name of Jesus. And somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. Come on, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Never stop rejoicing at Glory Zone. Never stop rejoicing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Now, for those of you who raised your hand, just fill the card. Okay, and then join the first timers, the guest, and then I'll meet you there. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Keep shouting and celebrating our man of God.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.